Hey everyone, and welcome to this week's episode of The Best and Worst of Walt Disney World. I'm Pete Werner, joined by, as my bracelet just falls off. This, you know what, let me say this. When we talk about the best and worst of Walt Disney World, I don't know if I can remember the name of this place.
Fossil?
No, it wasn't. There's this jewelry store in Disney Springs.
Uno de 50 or something?
Uno, yeah, something 50-something. Crap! Do you hear me? Crap. So I bought this bracelet there. You know how many times this damn thing falls off my wrist? Because it's crap. Okay? So here, see the bracelet? Yeah. Done. Okay, so anyway. Best and worst of Walt Disney World. I'm here, Pete Werner. How are you? Crappy bracelet. Stephen Elizabeth Porter on my right. Oliver Green on my left.
Hello, everyone.
And this month we are filming these in the Royal Asante Presidential Suite at Disney's Animal Kingdom Lodge. And if you have the means, I highly recommend it. A gorgeous suite. Gorgeous. Maybe Oliver will throw in some cuts.
Oh, definitely,
into
yes.
this so you can kind of take a look at it. Absolutely beautiful. It's kind of a, you know, little birthday thing for me and my mom, because my mom's here. My mom's actually sitting right over there, but she hates the camera. So anyway, we are talking this week about, or this month, about ways to manage the crowds at Walt Disney World. And we're focusing on each specific theme park. This month, last week we talked about Magic Kingdom. This week we are talking about Epcot and some strategies that if you're going to be in the parks during the busier times of the year, some things you can do to help make it a little bit easier. So first up on our list this week seems like an obvious one, but it seems to be one that most people don't think about. First attraction you see when you walk into Epcot is Spaceship Earth. Not for nothing, it's this massive ball in the middle of everything. And everybody just kind of gravitates to that. So take a look at the wait time during busy times. I was just in Epcot last Saturday. And it was Saturday after Thanksgiving, so it definitely qualifies as a busy time of the year. And the wait at 11 o'clock in the morning for Spaceship Earth was 55 minutes. That's unheard of. When we left the park at 3 o'clock, the wait was 10 minutes. Mm-hmm. So, our first tip for Epcot, do Spaceship Earth later in the day. Mm-hmm. Once World Showcase opens, which is, I think, 11 o'clock,
yes.
People, the crowds just start moving back into World Showcase and kind of funnel out of that area of Future World. That's especially true during the Food and Wine Festival. Mm-hmm. So, Spaceship Earth, toward the end of the day.
Yeah, I think this is, like you said, it's because it's the first attraction that people see, and it's a lot of, I think, first-timers. They just, this has got to be some great thrill ride or something, yeah. Because they just assume. And then I think the fact that there are long lines, it actually perpetuates that thinking that, like, this must be some great ride, because look, it has a 50-minute wait,
yeah.
So we probably should get in the line, because it must be amazing.
Not to say it's not a bad attraction, but it's not what you're expecting if that's your expectation
when you go in. And I love Spaceship Earth. This is nothing. I don't want to hate comments of
Steve. Yeah, because I'll stab you because I love Spaceship Earth.
It's one of my favorites. But I think that I think it's a wrong thinking that it's going to be some long line all day. So they just figured, we'll just get in now.
Yeah, that it would only get longer as the day went on.
Right.
Number two relates to fast pass strategies when it comes to Epcot. Epcot operates their fast passes on a tiered system. So you have tier one attractions, you can choose one of those, and tier two attractions, you can choose two of those, because you can book three in advance. The tier one attractions are, Mr. Porter?
Frozen Ever After.
Which is at the Norway Pavilion.
Soarin'. And Test Track.
Mm-hmm. And so, of course, three most popular rides, you can only get fast passes for one. So our suggestion is choose between Soarin' and Frozen. If you have kids, you're probably doing Frozen. If you don't, you're probably doing Soarin'. But Test Track really should not be on that list.
Yeah.
And why is that, Steve?
Well, is this
another... this kind of flows into our third one.
The point I make is Test Track. I said this very recently, actually, in a vlog that's not yet. It will be up by the time you see this, but. Test Track, it's an attraction you can take or I feel like you could take your grandmother on, but it is still a thrill attraction, so it's not going to appeal to everyone. Absolutely everyone in your party, like, no matter what age, no matter what, you know, background in a thrill attraction.
I don't know if I agree with that. My mother's 86. I don't think I would take her on Test Track. I don't think she'd enjoy Test Track. She loves Soarin', but I don't know that she would. I don't know that she would really enjoy. I mean, Test Track throws you around a little bit. I mean, you go over like really bumpy surfaces. Mm-hmm. You're doing fast curves back and forth, and then you hit 65 miles an hour outside. I don't know that it's, you know, obviously you don't like your grandmother.
I was,
but I don't know that. I mean, I'm not saying for all grandmothers, but I'm just thinking, you know, obviously my mom. I don't. That's not an attraction I would recommend for her.
This is my argument. So it doesn't appeal to everyone. Whereas in contrast, Frozen,
Soarin', and Frozen do.
Yeah, exactly.
That's
so
why. Yeah,
it's going to appeal to the most people in your party. So I'd say that's one of the reasons to choose those fast passes, but not every reason. Which leads on to the next thing.
Yeah.
So
the other reason is there's single rider on Test Track. I mean, that's a huge reason why you don't need fast pass. As long as you're okay with your group separating a little.
Number three on our list is use the single rider line at Test Track. So for those not familiar, there are limited attractions at Walt Disney World that have what is known as a single rider line. So that you get into that particular line, and you know, in Test Track, for example, the cars hold six people, three in the front, three in the back. So if they have one or two seats open, they'll fill from the single rider line. That line moves a lot faster than the normal standby line. So, but at the same time, as Steve mentioned, probably not going to sit together with your party. But on an attraction like Test Track, I don't know how much that matters because
Yeah, that's true. Even though you don't get to sit to, because of that uneven seating combination, even though you don't necessarily get to sit with someone in your party, a lot of the time you're in the car with somebody else in your party. They're just either in front or behind you.
Right.
So you're still technically riding with them. Obviously, this isn't guaranteed. It's a single rider line. That's the nature. You may get sat with them, you may not. Whenever I've been in there, more times than not, if I'm in the single rider line with somebody that I'm visiting the park with that day, we actually do get sat in the same car together. We're just not right next to each other.
But this is also an important point that should be made, I think, for all of these shows, that compromises have to be made if you're going to be traveling during the busier times of the year. Of course, you know, we can sit here and say, oh, just go during, you know, less crowded times. But for, you know, people with kids in school that they can't pull out, teachers in particular, this is a, you know, teachers who do amazing work from teachers, but they cannot take off in the middle of, you know,
September.
In the middle of January or the middle of September to come when it's less crowded. They have to go when the kids are out of school, and rule of thumb, the kids are out of school, the parks are busy. So, you know, there are compromises that have to be made, but there are ways to get around the parks and still have a great experience. Just takes a little extra planning.
I will say, back to Test Track, just for a quick second, I would say that the only people that maybe this tip doesn't make sense for is if you have young children that are tall enough to ride the ride, but maybe not tall enough to go by themselves, because you will get separated. So you might have a kid that feels uncomfortable sitting next to some stranger or something like that. So
yeah, in that case, I would say, I would say then get your fast pass for Test Track. If your child wants to ride Test Track and you want to make sure you're together, and then, like, if you're going to do Frozen, you want to be waiting at World Showcase, the entrance to World Showcase, at 11 o'clock and run like the wind to get back.
Or just wait in the regular line for Test Track. I mean,
tends to be really long.
That's true.
That tends to be really long. And Test Track, even now, still has the, not as bad as it used to be, but still goes down a lot.
Yeah,
it still goes down more than most other attractions. There's a lot of technology at work in Test Track. It's not just a simple get in, ride like a roller coaster. There's a lot of technology in the cars and in the track, in the experience, and sometimes it goes down. They've gotten a lot better with it, a lot better than what it used to be. Because I used to refer to it as perpetual Test Track because it was always breaking down, It doesn't happen as often now, but that is one of the things about the standby line that you need to be, you need to be mindful of. The fourth on our list, and some people may not agree with this, but this is important. If you are driving your own car or a rental car to Epcot, but even still with the bus service, when the parks are busy, watch illuminations from Future World. Now, yeah, you're going to miss a lot of what goes on in the lake around in the center of World Showcase. You're going to miss the stuff that happens on the water. But you're in a better position to get out of the park and to the bus stop or to your car and out before the masses. If you're not going to do that, then you're going to want to loiter around Future World for about an hour.
Which isn't a bad thing in itself, because if you spend the time just, in World Showcase waiting for people to leave, that walk through World Showcase after everyone's left is really nice.
It's incredible when it's really not, nice. Especially at night, lit up. So but, I guess this is really like an alternate option. Either watch them in Future World and get out of the park as soon as possible, or if you're going to watch them from within World Showcase, be prepared to hang back and kind of let the crowds, because there's also just that, especially after a long day, you're in the parks during, especially during warmer days, warmer times of the year, and you've been like just walking in the heat and you're exhausted, then having to leave in this throng of people, wait for three buses to cycle before you get on one, or sit in traffic leaving Epcot, not an enjoyable way to end your day.
I'll also add, if you do sit back and wait, like you talked about, this can be a great picture opportunity for, because if you're there on really, really crowded days, you're going to have Spaceship Earth with 10 million random people walking in the background of your picture. So you're great. Your family photo has all these people. But if you kind of wait a little bit, you can get, you know, a picture with, you know, minimal amount of people if you just wait that extra little time.
Yeah.
Now, one of the fifth and final tip we have for taking advantage of, or tips to navigate Epcot during busier times of the year relates to dining, especially on really busy times. It can be almost impossible to find a table at a restaurant in World Showcase or in Future World. They fill up, and one thing that I like to do that I've heard from other people, just kind of dash out the World Showcase exit at Epcot, head over to the boardwalk. You have some great dining options over there. You have Big River Grill, which I love Big River Grill. I know some people don't, but especially if you just want a beer and a burger or a nice sandwich, and it's nice. It's a brewery, so they brew their own beer there. I've heard good things about that. I don't drink, so I can't say. But you've got some great options over on the boardwalk for dining. If it's too crazy in Epcot and you just want to take a little break, and the boardwalk is just a great place to hang out and be around for a little bit.
Just escape the shoulder-to-shoulder traffic on those really, really busy days.
Even if it's just dropping out to visit Ample Hills and getting an ice cream, it could just be a snack. Yeah. It's a nice way of just getting out of the crowds for a second and just getting back into it.
So. I mean, I'll add on even, they have the marina there, too. So if you want to take a midday break and go on the boat, do a boat
rent
rental.
Rent a pontoon boat and go around Crescent Lake, and that'll take you. You can't go into Epcot, but you can go around the Yacht and Beach Club, by the Swan Dolphin, up the lagoon, over to Hollywood Studios, and back around. Now, you can't dock at Hollywood Studios and get out, park hop with these things, but that's a great idea, too. One of the other things I'm just going to throw in as an honorable mention, this isn't a bullet point, is that, last week we talked about attractions with historically low wait times that you could take advantage of in the Magic Kingdom. You can kind of do that at Epcot as well. Virtually every pavilion in World Showcase has some kind of an attraction. You have El Rio del Tiempo, the Rivers of Time, Three Caballeros now, right? Three Caballeros. I still call it by its old name. But the great little, almost, it's a Mexican Small World type attraction in the Mexico Pavilion. You've got
Impressions de France?
We have Impressions de France. in France. You have the film in China. It's, the name is escaping me right now. I just mentioned it before we started recording, and I can't.
Yeah,
think
I
of
can't
it.
Remember it either.
You also have a great. You have a great 360 film in Canada, yep. Hosted by Martin Short. So you have lots of great shopping opportunities in England, in the UK pavilion, the Morocco pavilion, the Japan pavilion, and both the Japan pavilion and the China pavilion always have some kind of exhibit going on.
Yes.
And that's culturally relevant to that country. So there are, you know, a lot of shopping opportunities, a lot of, you know, dark, cool places to sit and watch things.
My favorite, in the American Pavilion, the American Adventure.
American Adventure, can't overlook that. Voices of Liberty, which is the a cappella group that performs. I know you hate them, but...
Hate's a strong word, and I've come under fire for that, so...
Yeah, well...
I dislike...
Give me a green card.
I thought that was going to happen, actually, when I said that last time. So.
Anti-American.
Not at all, no. I'm a huge fan of the attraction. It's just the Voices of Liberty.
Okay, and here's what I say. Voices of Liberty, that's a whole lot of talent in one place. That is a whole lot of talent. Because you got no, you know, to sing like that, to sing a cappella like that, with that size group, that you have to modulate your voice and, you know, really hit your notes. You can't be off. And
the way that hall like echoes, you got to be on point because it sends out what you're singing.
And you've got no music to hide behind. It's just you've got to be able to really sing. This isn't I'm a good singer. If you're in Voices of Liberty, you can sing that. You're a great singer. And so I don't care what the immigrant says. Voices of Liberty, amazing. And of course, the American Adventure. The theater show, really inspiring, beautifully done. And again, big theater, holds a lot of people, it's cold, and you're like out of the heat and out of the crowd for a good 40 minutes, 45 minutes, waiting for Voices of Liberty and watching the show.
I will say, on crowded, I mean, if it's not a crowded day, they'll genuinely just kind of let you sit where you want. On a crowded day, like if it's going to be a peak season, I would say when you're loading into that theater, let a couple people in front of you, so that way you can kind of get a middle seat, because they will make you go to the end of the row.
So this is really more a top six, because we just got an awful lot of traction out of that that extra. So recapping, Spaceship Earth, wait for the end of the day. Get your fast passes for either Soarin' or Frozen. Utilize the single rider line at Test Track. Watch Illuminations from Future World, or watch it in World Showcase and give yourself a good half hour, 45 minutes before you start venturing out of the park for a quick midday break. Shoot out the World Showcase exit, the International Gateway exit at Epcot, over to the boardwalk. Grab a pontoon boat or have lunch over at one of those restaurants. And the one we thought was just going to be an honorable mention, which I think makes this a top six, not a top five, is take advantage of some of the attractions that you find in World Showcase. So that will do it for this episode of The Best and Worst of Walt Disney World. We hope you enjoyed it. We'll be back with you again next week with another episode. Have a good one.